Welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape, United Methodist Communications and UMC.org's podcast to help us keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joe Iovino. On this Meet a Bishop episode, we're chatting with Bishop Hee-Soo Jung, who serves the United Methodist Churches in Wisconsin. Raised in a home where his parents practiced Buddhism and Neo-Confucianism, Bishop Jung became a Christian when he volunteered to help a missionary who was preparing the ground before starting to build a church. That started Bishop Jung in a lifelong pursuit of bridging the gap between the gospel and culture. In this wonderfully powerful conversation, he shares some tips that will help us relate better to people of other faith, the importance of his prayer life, and how he and his wife enjoy hiking and climbing in the mountains. Let's meet Bishop Hee-Soo Jung. Bishop Jung, welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape.
Thank you. It is my honor.
Oh, it's a privilege to have you with us today. I understand that you did not grow up in a Christian home, but became a Christian at about the age of 16. Can you tell me that story?
Yes, that's correct. I've been in South Korea. That my family been practiced it and very active in Neo-Confucianism, and my mother and grandmother that they are practicing Buddhism. So I think a house coexisted with the more male dominant liturgical culture with the Confucianism, and also mother side was always devotional to the Buddhist culture. That was our family, and then I was touched by the Spirit, so I started to be churchgoer since 16 years old.
How did you come to begin going to church?
That's a very interesting, story, because when I been wrestled with my self-identity and there is some wrestling issue in my life at that time. My father, when he was young, he got accident, paralyzed it, one leg and one hand he couldn't use. And also he had seizures. And the later year, when I really been grown up, that time he also had a stroke. So he was shut in a situation at home, and so that was a severe challenge for me as a young boy, how I'm going to deal with it, how I'm going to see my future through it, and was quite a pick of a challenge in my life. And yes, one day in that those wrestling time, I found out the next of our home, right the hillside of the Rocky Hill, there is one local preacher, a local pastor who just probably committed to New Start and continually begging, receiving land from the villager. And my grandfather permitted it to, even though different religion, and he started digging the ground to build the church.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the one late evening that he's working alone. So I step into him, Reverend Kim, he was, and I say, "Can I help you?" So I walked it into the, that special moment, and he was pleased that this young boy came and even offered the help. So he and I worked to clean up the carrying rock and clean up for the land of the church. And then he held my hand one moment. The God loves you, and God loves you. And Mr. Jung, I never heard anybody call me Mr. Jung, but it was a very honorific way as a older person to this young, young one I am. So, yes, the Holy Spirit, it was a deeply moved it into, and I caught up by the Spirit that moment, and I decided to explore and get involved in it, and I become a Christian.
Wow.
So when church was built, ground, like a floor, is not done yet, but in the cold winter day, I was baptized.
Oh, wow.
And that's the my story.
That must have been a difficult decision when your family was involved in another religion. How mm-hmm. did that affect your family?
It is, and I start to see me as a right one, and then all others are wrong. And I was very aggressive to approaching the Jesus gospel, and then continually convey to my family. Of course, my grandparents and parents and brothers and sisters all saw me as a very naivete, and also, you know, that bring that trouble to the family. So yes, it was a hard, and I was almost separated out and then nurtured by the Christian friends and family there. That become actually another than my journey that when I trying to reconcile with my family as a little bit matured Christian, I start embracing my family tradition from the other side and trying to, you know, that reconcile with them, and especially grandfather, who was a Confucian scholar. Mm-hmm. I went into college and graduate school time. I had a chance to reconcile with him. And he accepted me as a Christian, and then he say, well, proudly I recognize who you are and what you are doing, but even though I'm not in that religion, but I want you to pursue and live as authentic as you are. And there was a affirmation moment, because that time I decided to go to study more theology, but also our own traditional religion. So bridging between gospel and culture, bridging my Christian faith into the Buddhist Confucian background. And so I felt there is a grace that I can be culturally Korean, but also claim my faith as a baptized Christian together. That's been probably about 10 years, but as a 16 years old, very young, hot conversion, then engaging with the family background, back and forth. Later, I decided to reconcile with my family, and that really been accepted by my siblings and family, that if you are coming that attitude, that humility you demonstrate, then we don't have trouble to, you know, that affirm your faith. So interfaith journey as a Christian, but also as theologian and as a later religious philosophy that I studied it as, you know, professor in that. And that whole journey was intermixed with this my family faith and my faith. So that is still my faith talk today.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned in there religious philosophy and theology, and you have degrees in those things, correct?
You're right. I finished it, the PhD program from University of Wisconsin-Madison. My PhD was a Buddhist studies, and minor was a Islamic Sufism.
Oh, wow.
So as a pastor, as a pastoral leader, I felt I need to continue working constructive, you know, engagement between these two traditions or three traditions, multi-tradition, mm-hmm. and how can I bring the church authentic relationship with others. Mm-hmm. That was my topic.
Wow. This is probably too big of a question for this conversation, but mm-hmm. can you briefly kind of say, what are some things that we might need to know to be better at relationships with those of other faiths?
Mm. A good question, Joe. This is when my case, when I engage with other faiths, that dialogue and conversation and engagement. Through that, I start to seeing who am I more clearly. It's like, that's right, that's my formation, that's my faith, that's my metrics of a faith journey. So that engagement, dialogue, and conversation and relationship with other faith really give quite a bit of benefit for my own strengthening, my own. And yes, I think a mirror in some way with that relationship that I can pursue my God and my gospel, my faith, you know, that rhythm in different way. And listening better, that was my own way of sharing to others. I feel that I become a better listener since I engaged it with other faith. And also I start to respect life, honoring life, respecting culture of Buddhist, Confucian, and other religious, you know, that culture. And I can continue looking at my own anthropocentric mind to more theocentric, more God-centered mindset, or the, like a faith to become more natural to the cosmic creation.
Mm. Wow. Humility helped you to reconcile with your grandfather and with your siblings. How has that helped you in relationships as a bishop, as a pastor, as a Christian?
Well, I think that when more and more Jesus in me has been seen as a self-emptying, self-sacrificing, you know, the moment type, moment to moments in the throughout the gospel teaching, Jesus be there with the people, not only teaching to them, but mutual engagement, so that Jesus being in that horizontal encounter with other humans and other, you know, the audience. I think that is essentially, I feel, I see that as a humility. Mm. And incarnated, you know, embodying the truth through that his life and ministry, that he shown the difference, yet in a relevant into their life, their time. So as a being as a bishop of the church, there is a variety of gifts, gifted in ministry, the gifted community that I'm, you know, that stood, and there are lots of different people, background, race, you know, that all different orientations, mm-hmm. and how you genuinely engage with the, those people out there. They are gifted, they are gracious, they are great, but how can I embrace, how can I, you know, that take that into more serious encountering as a leader of the church? I think that is a humility. That is not just my opinion, but how we see together, or how my dogmatic, you know, position, but how we see the together, so that new possibility we can continually looking at together as a sojourner.
I want to return to your story. When did you first feel called to ordained ministry?
In my time in Korea, it's under military dictatorship, so that it is so severe social oppression, injustice everywhere. So when I become a leader among the student, you know, the group, I was already involved with this social justice and really equity matter in the society. So I was a student movement leader. And then I started engaging with the urban ministry in Seoul with young factory workers, night school. I was in the beginning as school teacher. teacher, but also later I become a director of that urban ministry site in the textile industry area. At that time, the calling come to me very clearly that I need to devote myself to really work for holistic salvation, the personal piety, but also the social change, social transformation, because the evidence there, such a oppression, such a disgrace for all different laborers and marginal people in the society. That time, I become more clear that God called me to ordain ministry. So I think I've been engaged with it gradually into societal change and more holistic kingdom agenda, I see. And until I migrate to the United States, I was deeply involved in that until 1982. And in 1982, I came to Dallas, Texas, because I met my wife, who were at that time student, college student in that area.
Yeah, that was my next question of how did you end up in the United States? But that's a good reason.
Yes, I think people ask me why you came, and I say, oh, because of my love.
Yes.
It is a romantic way, but that was because when you got involved in that social justice, urban ministry, that many ministry with the poor and all, you have a deep, the shared probably commitment there. I've been also seeking for what is a better way that I can equip myself. And then I met my wife. So naturally, I moved to United States.
Yeah.
So 1982, I came, and then I started to new church starter in Dallas, Texas area, Farmers Branch area, as a church starter, an immigrant church that I started, and I served as a pastor until 85. And then I felt, I need to keep doing my study, because I finished it, my graduate study in Korea, and it was a gain for gospel and culture and interfaith, that how can I be engaging constructively with the multi-faith. So I went to Berkeley, California, and for my graduate study again. So I finished it, my study at the Institute of Buddhist Studies there. Then my advisor moved to Madison, Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, Madison. So I followed him. Then I stopped. I've been really nurtured by this Wisconsin United Methodist community since then.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Did I read that your wife is a pastor?
Yes, she later went into the seminary and be ordained. Served it about 15 years of the local church in Wisconsin, and then now she's serving as an international director of the Upper Room Ministry in Nashville as deployed staff. Yes, she's engaging there happily with the many country that been enhanced it for Upper Room devotion and then Spiritual Formation Academy, worked in Mayas and in all other programs. She's engaging with it. And recently, she's working very hard with China and Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, many former communist land.
Yeah.
And she also engaged with Russia, Eurasia area with the Bishop Kegai. And we are engaging global mission as a partner. So she and I are jumping all over the place. When I was a OMCO president, and then now I'm serving as a president for global ministry. And so my capacity and her engagement and kind of mutually sometimes helping each other to the on focus and sharpening focus too.
Yeah.
That's our life. We are blessed.
Yes. as a couple, you're very busy, and individually, you're busy. When you get a chance to relax, what do you like to do?
Oh, I think relax. That's a good question, because we are a mountain climber and we are really a pilgrim tracker. So we love it, trekking for Mountain Himalaya, Annapurna. And we've been, my wife and I journeyed to Santiago de Compostela, about 40 days walk in Spain.
Wow.
And so we just finished the Chiri Mountain in South Korea when I was there for World Methodist Council meeting. Yeah. 4 nights, 5 days, trekking to the mountain climbing in the one of the highest mountain in South Korea. So, yes, I think relaxing, but also we will continually walking, pilgrim journey into the more aggressive way to, enjoy the nature, because we love nature lover, and I think that's our commitment. We have a couple more to go.
any place special that you're going?
Yes, actually, in my vacation time, my wife and I will go to Everest Mountain in Himalaya trekking. So about 2 weeks, we're going to climb that mountain area.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's our really joyful aspiration.
Yeah.
Relaxation is, you're right, I think, more on regular. I think we've been focused on the spiritual formation and prayer life, and more relaxation with the reading and all.
Okay. One last question that you may have already answered, but let me ask anyway, more specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you keep your spirit in shape?
You know, God is in it. God is everywhere, but God in our life, when we sit and meditate and sit and contemplate it in our life. So the regular prayer life is even done morning prayer, and every morning prayer worship our own way. It's a very Korean spirituality, but it's a very strong one that I enjoy to be part of it. Then last about 10 to 20 years, I've been exercising morning Lectio Divina with the scripture reading, but my scripture is a Bible and also some Sanskrit text like, Upanishad and all different world canon in Sanskrit version. So that I keep reading between the text to text and pray. And that was my daily practice. But I felt that more and more my faith and discipline has come through Jesus-centered, spirit-centered. And that's the life that I am enjoying it. And I think regularity is important, and how you, even 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or even half hour, an hour, how you regularly focusing on. We also seriously taking regular fasting too, and because that's the way that we set aside our own, so the divine metric, divine grace is filtered in our living. I think that's the most influencing, more impacting in our soul journey. So prayer life, devotional, but also regular fasting, and then engaging at the best as you can with the whole world. So yeah, I think we've been blessed in this preacher journey, walking, praying, continually journeying together.
Well, Bishop Zheng, I have so enjoyed meeting you in this way. Thank you very much. That was Bishop Hee-Soo Jung of the Wisconsin Annual Conference. to learn more about the bishop, the church in Wisconsin, and to read his blog that includes a recent entry about hiking in the Himalayas, go to umc.org/podcasts and look for this episode that we've titled Meet Bishop Hee-Soo Jung. While you're there, check out more Meet a Bishop episodes and other United Methodist podcasts. Also, I'd appreciate it if you would write a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download Get Your Spirit in Shape. Good reviews help move us up in searches, and that helps more people find us. Thanks for listening. I'll be back soon with another conversation to help us keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joe Iovino. Peace.